And while you do, tell the person next to them that they're fantastic. Yeah, that's right. It has to be the fantastic. Emphasis on the fan. Well, I'm just going to get myself organised. The other thing I have to do, of course, is take off my watch, because if I don't take off my watch and put it there, I forget to look at my watch, and then I forget what time it is. Never a good thing. There we go. It is now currently 7:05. Yeah, I know. I thought you wanted to know that, so I told you. So tonight, we are continuing our talk on purity. We started talking about that last week, and it was really great. And I'm really excited to be able to come up and speak, because this is an area that I'm really passionate about. And I think that often we don't talk about it enough in church. And Andrew said this last week, but I'm going to say it again. We hear about sex everywhere. It's on the television. It's in every magazine that we pick up. Absolutely everywhere. What we read is everywhere. But we're often way too silent about it in the church. And for me, that just isn't something that I'm happy with. So I'm really glad that we're talking about it and that I can come here and talk to you about it today. So hopefully from a slightly different perspective than from last week. I'm a girl, obviously. Andrew's not. And also married. So very different perspective, but hopefully it'll be good and it will give you a big picture. So fantastic. So pure. I love the word pure. I think of water, I think. Pure water. But pure. I have a definition of pure. It's from Webster's Dictionary, and hopefully it will come up on the screen. Fantastic. Unmixed with any other matter, free from what weakens or pollutes, containing nothing that does not properly belong, free from moral fault or guilt. And if you notice, if you have a look up on screen, there are a couple of times there that it says the word free, and I think that when we live in purity, we live in freedom. I think also that if you see the word weakens, if we're not pure, that just weakens us. And I think that when we are pure, then that strengthens us. And when we allow God to make us pure, then we're as strong as we can be. So keep this definition in mind. Freedom, purity, strength. For me, that's how I want to live, definitely how I want to live. So what I'm going to talk to you about tonight, basically what I've done is I've put it into 4 points, but those points are a truth and then a lie. So I think sometimes it can be really easy to believe the lies about purity and about sex, but let's think about the truths and not the lies tonight. So truth number one, hopefully it will also come up on screen. God's plan for sex is for blessing and freedom. Woo! Fantastic. I noticed that it was only a couple of the guys, married guys, who actually were like, woo, then. But the lie that goes along with that is that God's plan for sex is boring, and I can have sex whenever and with whoever I want, and everything will be okay. And I think this is a lie that we can really easily fall into. And also the lie that when we are trying to be pure, or when we're trying to live the life of purity, I think sometimes the lie is that we're just not good enough for it, and that it's just a list of don'ts. Don't number one, don't number two, don't number three. And for me, that's not what I think it's really about. So the truth, God's plan for sex is for blessing and freedom. It's not something to be condemned about. It's not something to get caught up in all the negative stuff of, but it's something that God has given us as a blessing. So let me just put a limit on this. I should have actually labelled it perhaps God's plan for sex is within marriage, and that's when we have freedom. And I think it's really such a blessing. Let's have a look at Genesis 1 verse 28. And I forgot to tell you, Bronwyn, sorry, Genesis verses aren't up on the screen, so don't try to find them. But Genesis 1, verse 28. Got to find myself. So, talking about Adam and Eve, it says, God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it, etc., etc. Then if you have a look at chapter 2, verse 24, so down in 24, for this reason a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh. Now, I don't know if you notice, but the fall of man, where sin entered the world, is not until chapter 3. So this stuff that God's talking about sex is stuff that entered the world. Oh, hello. Stuff that entered the world before sin was here. It's not something dirty. It's not something bad. Sex is something that God has given us as a gift. So let's keep that one in mind. It's not something bad, but sometimes we twist it and make it into something bad. And that's not what God intended at all. And it's something that's going to be good. And I didn't just want to come here and be like, oh, this is just a list of don'ts and something that we should not really talk about and something that's a little bit dirty. Because it's not like that at all. And I want to put that out there before I even say anything else. So within a marriage, sex is something that's really cool because it's something that you two married people can do together that nobody else is involved in. Thank goodness for that. That's the concept, that's the idea. But it's true. I mean, you can go to church together, you can have friends with other people together, you can do whatever together, but this is something that really you can't have anybody else involved in. Well, I'm not going to go there. I'm really not going to go there. Stop laughing. No, really, it's something that is creates intimacy and love, and you know what? It's something that is amazing and a blessing. So, James 1, verse 17, this one should be on the screen, says this. I'll just give you maybe a few seconds to flick there. James 1, verse 17, whatever is good and perfect comes to us from God above. Now, I think if we turn that around a little bit, you could also say that the things that God gives us are good and perfect. And this is something as well, once again, sex is something God has given us and it's good and it's perfect. It's only when we twist it and do the wrong thing with it that it becomes something that puts us into bondage. So let's remember that. This isn't something bad. It's not something taboo. It's not something to be condemned about, but it's something for blessing and that word we talked about before, freedom. So I am going to talk about the negative sides of this. Outside of marriage, sex truly is just a big ripoff. It might look good at the time. It might feel right at the time, but really it's such a big ripoff. For starters, when you have sex outside of marriage, even if you're not married at the moment, keep this one in mind, it undermines the intimacy you can have with your future husband or future wife or currently your husband and wife. Sex outside of marriage is truly, it's not worth it. I think the thing that we often don't hear and often isn't talked about is that sex isn't just something that's physical, it's something that's emotional as well. It has huge, huge, huge emotional ties to it. It are tied to that person forever, basically. And the thing is that when we go and we're just giving ourselves to whoever and whenever we want, then you're tying yourself to people that you're not in a secure and good relationship with. And you might have been with the same person for, I don't know, 5 years and think, oh, that's okay, I'm in a secure and loving relationship. Do you know what? It's not worth it. It is so not worth it to give yourself away early. What I think of is if I'm given a present, something that I love, something that's amazing, I'm going to look after that and treasure that. Why on earth would I go and say, this is an amazing present, thank you so much for this present, and then go and say, but I would actually rather this cheap one over here that's really dodgy. And why would we do that? God's given us something so good. Why would we rip it off and go and take the secondhand sort of dodgy present when he's given us the amazing one for us to treasure and us to love? I think, you know, really, this is my personal walk with God. I waited until marriage before having sex, and tell you what, it is so worth the wait. Can I tell you that, guys? Seriously, you might be thinking, oh, I'm not going to get married for years yet. It doesn't really matter. Let me tell you, it is so worth the wait. Don't ever buy into the lie that it's too long, it's too far away. Just don't do it because it's worth the wait. And if there's something that you remember from this today, I want you to remember it's worth the wait. Take that from me. And, you know, when I'm talking to you about this stuff, I went through 21 and a half years to the day before I was married. That isn't a short amount of time. I know what I'm talking about when I say sometimes it can seem like it's forever in the future, but you know what? It will come and it is absolutely worth the wait. Another way that sex rips us off when we put it outside of marriage is that it puts up a dividing wall between us and God, because God clearly tells us in the Bible to wait. And the reason he tells us to wait is because it's something, he has something so much better for us, this amazing blessing that we're talking about. And if we disobey him, then we're basically putting ourselves in the position of God and saying, you know what, God, I know better than you. And that just puts up a dividing wall between us. And then just, these are some things that you probably would all know anyway, but it rips us off emotionally. I've talked to you about that. So much hurt can happen if you give yourself in sex outside of marriage. But the opposite side of that, if you wait until marriage, the emotional link there is something that's really good and worth it. So, once again, why would you go for the hurt and the emotional baggage that comes with doing the wrong thing, but coming... why would you go for that when you can have something amazing later and an amazing emotional tie? And also it affects us physically. Now, this is purely obvious, but especially things like STIs, they're rampant in our society these days. Sexually transmitted infections, just in case you were wondering what I meant there. But you know what? If we save ourselves until marriage, then this stuff doesn't even become an issue anymore. But if we don't, then it's something that is just going to rip us off. So think about that. It's not something that's just physical, but it is emotional as well. And I think the thing is, no one really told me that when I was younger. But you know what? I'm so glad that I waited, because I don't think I could deal with the emotional baggage that would have gone with not waiting. So keep this stuff in your mind, and don't just listen to me as, oh, she's just giving me another list of do's and don'ts, because I'm not. All I'm saying is God has something amazing for us. Why would we cut ourselves short from that? Fantastic. So the next truth is this. Without God's power, I can't resist temptation, but with his power, I can. The lie that goes with that is, it doesn't matter how much temptation I allow into my life, I can handle it. And I think this is something that catches us quite a bit, because it's very easy for us to say, oh, yeah, this isn't that good, but you know what? It's not that bad. If I just do this one thing that's wrong, that's okay. But the problem with that is, then I move from being in this position to being in this position. And then I say, oh, you know what? I'm just going to take another little step. It doesn't matter if I do that little thing. It's not that bad. And I take another step. And then you do it again and again. And in the end, you've moved so far away from where you started. And I think that's the trick with temptation. I think Satan does it deliberately, so that we trick ourselves into thinking it's okay, when really it's not. And that's the lie. Hebrews 2 verse 18 says this. Since he himself, that's God, since he himself has gone through suffering and temptation, he is able to help us when we are being tempted. You know what? Jesus, the Holy Spirit, is there with us every day. I love that we've been talking about being empowered by the Holy Spirit, because he will help us overcome temptation. He will. And put that Bible verse down and remember it. In times when you're being tempted and you're thinking, oh my gosh, seriously, remember that one. I know that when I was during high school years, especially later high school years, sometimes I would have thoughts that go into my mind, like these thoughts that were just being, I think Satan was just putting them in my mind, and constantly I had to choose not to dwell on those thoughts, because it's when you choose to dwell on that thought that you've taken your step from here to here. And you might think, oh, it's just a thought, who cares, whatever. But seriously, don't allow yourself to think those thoughts. I remember all sorts of things, but I remember one particular time coming home in the bus from school and just having these thoughts constantly just going through my mind, and every single one saying, I cut that off, I cut that off, I cut that off, I take that captive. And you know how exhausting that can be? Jolly exhausting. And especially like, God, why the heck do I have to go through this? I know that I don't want those thoughts. I'm cutting those thoughts off. Can't you see that I'm being faithful? And you know what? Those thoughts eventually did completely stop, because I was faithful and constantly, every single time, being bombarded with those thoughts, cutting them off. Now, I want you to take a little bit of a think about some of the things that you do in your life. The songs that you listen to, the shows that you watch on television, what you're reading, magazines, books. What are you reading? What are you watching? Because I know for me, I need to completely cut off. If there's a TV show that's not right, I cut it off. I don't want to see that. If there's a song, songs are actually something that I struggle with a bit, because I'm a musician. I love listening to music, and there are songs that I love to listen to because they've got really cool beats, and you know, you can sort of move to them, and I do that, and then I think and I listen to the words and I go, ah, what have I just been singing? What have I just been, you know, bopping to? And there are so many times when I've had to choose not to listen to those songs, that even though I love the actual music behind the songs, not listening to them, because they're just going to put negativity inside of me. And I know that if I have those things going inside of me, then those things are going to be the things that lead to the actions that come out of that. And you might think it's harmless, but let me tell you, that television show isn't harmless. It's not harmless. You might think it's harmless because it's just something you're watching and that doesn't affect me, but it's not harmless. And it's a very tricky way that Satan will try to get thoughts into your head. And if you're watching it continually and allowing yourself to dwell on that, then you're going to be taking that step away from where you want to be. There's a verse in James 1, verse 14 to 15. That's in James 1. It should be up on the screen again. Yes, fantastic. By the way, Josh did my PowerPoint for me. I wrote it up and he did all the formatting and stuff. Isn't he amazing? Good old Josh. So James 1. Temptation comes from the lure of our own evil desires. These evil desires lead to evil actions, and evil actions lead to death. It's very clear in the Bible, if you allow those thoughts in your mind and you dwell on them, then that leads to evil actions lead to death. Don't dwell on it, it's so not worth it. I think, I'm just going to touch on a couple of things here. Pornography, don't go there. But pornography is something that's incredibly bad because it is so degrading towards women. So degrading. As a woman, that just makes me shudder because it's awful. It's very degrading. It feeds unrealistic images into your mind, which will completely hinder your intimacy when you get married in the future. It will hinder your intimacy if you allow it to stay because it is unrealistic. This pornography is completely invented to basically so men can, or not just men, whoever, can go and fantasize over it and have these ideas in their mind. But let me tell you, it is so putting bad thoughts into your mind. It's putting unrealistic thoughts into your mind. And it is taking that step sideways if you're allowing yourself to dwell on that. Don't go there. And seriously, it will work to destroy intimacy in future relationships that you have. Don't go there. And if you are struggling in this area, talk to someone about it. Accountability is the biggest power breaker that you can have, I think, other than declaring something, giving it to God. Talk to someone about it, because when it does, it ceases to be that dirty secret, but it becomes something that you can actually deal with, and someone can say, how are you going with this? How are you going with this? Another thing that goes alongside pornography is lust. Lust is the overpowering desire to enter into the actual fulfillment of your own fantasy. It is actually wanting something and craving something that is not yours to have, basically. And once again, lust is something. It starts small and you think you take that little step, you look at that girl, you look at that boy, whatever, you take that little step, but then if you let those thoughts keep going onto your mind, and if you are trying to get some sort of, like having some sort of desire towards that, and you keep dwelling on it, you're moving further and further away again. These are the thoughts. This is what I mean. These are the thoughts that you have to cut off straight away as soon as they enter your mind. Don't compromise even a small bit. Can I say that as strongly as I can? Don't compromise. I know Adrian and I, when we were going out, we very, very early on in our relationship, probably about a month into our relationship, we decided that we needed in our life to have really strong boundaries, because we knew that if we didn't, it would just, we'd go down the wrong track. So what we did, you might be surprised to hear this, but I'm cool. We were together for 2 years exactly before we got engaged. For those 2 years, we said, right, and we didn't know it was going to be 2 years, but after about a month into our relationship, we said, right, let's not kiss until if like two are engaged, and we didn't. And some of you might be like, what the heck? What the heck are you talking about? But we didn't, because that was something for us. We knew it's, what do they call it? Diminished returns? Is that what it's called? Yeah, diminished returns. If you start with a kiss, that might be like, oh, actually, it starts with holding hands, doesn't it? Oh my gosh! And you hold hands, you get that thrill. It's true, come on, you guys know it. No, seriously, you do. You start with holding hands, but after a while, holding hands just becomes... And so, it doesn't really, but you know what I mean. You want to go further. No. That didn't come out the way I meant it. No, but really, it becomes something you want more. And so you go to the next stage, and that gives you the thrill again. But then you want more, and you keep going, and you keep going. So Adrian and I said, no, we're not going to do that. We're not going to kiss until we're engaged. We also had another boundary we had was if we were together, like in a room by ourselves, we would leave the door at least a little bit ajar, because that means anyone can walk past, anyone can come into your room, and you're not tempted to do things that you otherwise might possibly be tempted to do. And what I mean, don't compromise. Don't compromise, because you're just going to lead yourself into a path that's not good. And Adrian and I were really strict in making sure that we stuck to what we said. And you know what? It was really good. And I'm so glad that we did, because it took away so much temptation. And I didn't want to rob myself of the blessing that God had for me. And I didn't want to rob us of the blessing that God has for us in our relationship. And you know what? Seriously, it's so worth putting those boundaries in place. And they might seem hard. Like, I mean, we were together for 2 years, no kissing. That's a long thing to commit for. But, you know, I think it's so worth it, and so what God had in mind. Just on this, girls and boys, both of you, but especially girls, if you are being forced or if you are being pressured into having sex with a partner, don't, like, he's not right for you, or she, or whoever, they're not right for you, because God has put these ideas into the Bible because he has blessing for us, not anything else. So seriously, if you are being pressured into doing that, don't stay in that relationship. Get out of it, because somebody who loves God and really wants God's purpose for you and for him will not pressure you into doing that. Seriously, I mean that. So if you are in that sort of relationship, get out of it now. Don't continue to walk down that path, because you don't want to go there. Trust me, you don't want to go there. All right, where am I in time? Good, fantastic. Truth number three. This one is a little bit more focused towards the girls, but I thought Andrew had a turn last week to talk from a boy's perspective. I'm going to talk quite straight to the girls in this one. I'm responsible for dressing in a way that won't make someone else's struggle for purity more difficult. The lie in this is, it doesn't matter what I wear, it's their responsibility to control their lustful thoughts. Do you know what? Girls, I'm purely speaking to the girls here. Guys don't think the same way that we do. This might come as a revelation. Actually, it probably might come as a revelation to some people. Seriously, guys don't think the same way that we do. And for me, if I am standing next to another girl in the same room as another girl who is wearing, you know, short sort of skirt and singlet top, I really don't think twice about that, because we don't. And as girls, I think we just assume that nobody else will think twice about that either. But seriously, guys think differently to us. And I want to put it out there, girls, that we are responsible for not hindering somebody else's walk for purity. We are really responsible for making sure that we are dressing appropriately. I think if you take these general sort of rules, not too short. In fact, I would say, I heard someone once say that if you put your arms down by your side, where your tip of your finger is, that's probably as short as you should go. I really don't feel comfortable there. I tend to go down about here. But seriously, don't go too short. Don't have your shirt too low. Don't be showing shoulders. Singlet tops, nah, bellies, don't go there. I think, seriously, I really mean this in all honesty, because I don't want to be responsible for another guy having a heap of trouble in what they're thinking. Don't wear something that's too tight, because that does exactly the same thing. Guys are visual, that's the thing, guys are visual. And something for us that we won't think twice about, girls, is something that they possibly will. And they will, yeah, just don't do it, because you don't want to make it harder for another guy. So basically, rule, not too short, not too tight, and don't show too much skin. I know personally, and I know I'm talking a lot about me, but I think it's quite a personal subject, so hopefully it's helping. But personally for me, I don't feel comfortable wearing just a singlet top out in public, or even anything just with straps, because I don't like showing too much shoulder or back, or front. And so I will, if I'm wearing a singlet top or something, I'll put a little jacket over the top or whatever. I won't wear short skirts. And that's me personally, but even like shoulders can be something that can make someone else think thoughts that we don't want them to think and they don't want to be thinking. So seriously, I'm really serious in this. I think we have a responsibility to do this. And I think sometimes it's an area that we can just think, oh yeah, whatever. It doesn't really matter what I wear. Because girls, I know we don't think that it really matters, because we don't think anything of it, but guys are different. And I talked to a guy before I said this to make sure I was saying the right thing. I have the authority of a guy, because obviously I'm a guy and can't tell you what they think from personal experience. But seriously, wear clothes that are appropriate and modest. In Romans 14, verse 20, Paul says, it is wrong to eat anything if it makes another person stumble. So they're talking here about... the Jewish people had a law that was about what you could and couldn't eat, and it's talking about that and freedom from that. But if we can apply this, the principle behind this, to our sexual purity and what we wear, it is really good. So don't eat meat or drink wine or do anything else if it might cause another Christian to stumble. You might think, oh yeah, it doesn't really matter what I wear, because that's their responsibility. But it clearly says in the Bible, if it's going to cause another person to stumble, another Christian to stumble, then don't do it, because it's our responsibility to make sure we're doing what we can. And you know, we can't stop somebody else's thoughts. That is outside of our control. But we can dress appropriately to make it easier for that person to control their thoughts. Again, in 1 Timothy 2, verse 9 to 10, I want women to be modest in their appearance. They should wear decent and appropriate clothing and not draw attention to themselves by the way they fix their hair or by wearing gold or pearls or expensive clothes. Now, the reason for this is because we don't want to be distracting other people. This is talking specifically about in a church group. But we don't want to be distracting people from worshipping God by what we're wearing. And we don't want to be causing somebody else to be thinking thoughts that they might have avoided thinking about by what we're wearing. And it very clearly says in the Bible, be modest in the way that you dress, because it is so important. So important. And you know, you're risking yourself in that situation as well, because by wearing something like that, you're putting yourself in a position where people might take advantage of you, and you don't want that. You don't want that. Dress modestly. And you know what? This doesn't mean sacrificing style, because I think style is about so much more than showing off your body. It's got to do with, well, ask these girls down the front what style has to do with. But seriously, it doesn't mean sacrificing style. It just means dressing in a way that's appropriate. I want to give you a quote from Rebecca St. James, who I discovered. Her last name is actually Smallbones. But anyway, this is what she says. She takes a really strong stand on sexual purity, and read some of her books if you want to go further into this, because she is really quite amazing. But she says this: I think sometimes girls say that they are waiting until they are married to have sex, but they are dressing in a way that is completely opposite. The girl that dresses modestly is actually way more attractive because there is more intrigue. So this, seriously, that's sort of a bit of a funny one, but seriously, it's true. Don't say you're willing to wait, but be dressed, like saying opposite things by way you wear, by the clothes that you wear. And I want you to think really carefully, what are your clothes saying about you? Seriously, what are other people going to be thinking when they see what you're wearing? So that one was more sort of towards the girls, but of course, guys, I guess there's stuff that you can take from that as well in dressing appropriately. But most guys I know tend to dress appropriately, but take this one and really think about it. And the last one, hopefully I'm not running out of time. I almost am. Very, very quickly. Truth. I can be forgiven and set free from my past sexual sin. And the lie is, I've sinned so much that I can never be pure again. Now, I want you guys to know, seriously, it doesn't matter what you have done in any area of your life, that God can come and he can cover that by his grace. There is nothing that has been too bad for him to be able to do. And the other thing is, sometimes I think we can have an idea in our mind that, yeah, that was really bad, but I know God covers me by grace. But I think sometimes when we repeatedly do things, it becomes harder to think that God gives us his grace because we're continually doing it. But can I tell you that it doesn't matter how many times you've done something